amen, church? Amen. No, like, amen, church? Amen. That's more like it. Did you read what Jesus did for us? The cross, the empty tomb, and why that gives us the power now to stand today and look forward to our tomorrows? Did you catch that? That's something worth amening about. Amen? Can I even take it a step further back? Because I want to prepare you. Like, Holy Week starting next week, we're going to be getting into the cross talk and then into the resurrection talk. And in 2 weeks, we're going to be high-fiving. Verse 3 talked about why we're high-fiving. It talks about the resurrection specifically. Bursting forth, glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. Our very first song that we sing on Easter morning, 7 a.m. is, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes, right? He arose the victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. We're going to sing that 7 a.m. Easter Sunday. It's because it's victory. And we're going to announce something. I want to practice it today because I don't want you to be caught off guard for it in 2 weeks, okay? We say something in line with what Christians have been saying for millennia on Easter morning. We say, he is risen. And we don't just say it, we slap it and we shout it. But we slap it because, like, in the arena of sports, like, high fives are like, yes, we did it, we won, huh? This is worth celebrating. And this is worth celebrating. We're living for something bigger than confetti, church. New heavens, new earth coming. His kingdom come. This is great stuff when we say he is risen. Then we solidify it with a slap. So don't be caught off guard. 2 weeks it's happening. There's a lot of stuff leading up to that stuff, though. Did you hear that one, church? There's a lot of stuff leading up to that stuff. Before the victory's won, there is death, suffering, torture, betrayal. This is a part of that journey, too. And we need to know that because our journey might have to go through some of those things, too, right? This is a part of what it means to follow Jesus, the good stuff and the hard stuff. Amen, church?
Amen.
You may be seated. You just wanted to sit down. That's why you gave that amen, huh? It worked. It worked. Today, we're going to close out our Heroes Sermon Series in preparation for what we're getting to next week with Holy Week beginning on Palm Sunday there. Before we close this off, though, can I give a couple shout-outs to Pastor Brad and Dave filling in the past 2 weeks as my family enjoyed some time on vacation. I'm just grateful for the teachers that we have of this church, not only up front, but in many different gamuts, in small groups, in Wiggly Worship, in Glow. I've shared with you before on occasion when our family is on vacation, we're in church because we want our kids to know that mommy and daddy worship Jesus not because it's their job, but because it's the rhythm of their life. And so we've shared with you that before. Just because we're out of town doesn't mean that we are out of church. We got to attend two different churches on those 2 different weeks that we were on family vacation. And if I'm just being honest with you, one was a really good sermon and one was kind of poor. And I say that from preacher cloth. Like, I've given those too. I realize that. And I don't know the circumstances behind that guy's week. I mean, it could have been one of those two funeral, kids sick, and you also got a car issue that you got to deal with. One of those happenings. There's a variety of things that could have led to that circumstance, but it was just kind of poor. Meanwhile, I'm listening online also to Pastor Brad's message 2 weeks ago and Dave's message last week. And as I'm listening to their message, the thought just kept coming in my head of, God, thank you for this season in our church where good teaching truly does ring forth there and was reminded of that. Like I said, not just with hearing Pastor Brad or Dave last week, but just being mindful of the teaching that we have going on right now in Wiggly Worship. Small groups and what's taking place with their Sunday school classes, you name it. There's just good teaching around God's word because Jesus said, right? Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. The early church, they were serious about 4 things, and one of those things was teaching. This matters for a healthy church to be nourished in the ways of faith. And so I'm just grateful for this season that God has put us in and what was exhibited the last 2 weeks there as our family got to enjoy a little vacation time. So with all that said, grateful for them stepping in. It's time to eat, though, yet again, through God's word. And so Bibles open, Hebrews 11 being the text. Like I said at the start, we're closing off this sermon series. If you remember way back to January, that's when we began this series on the heroes of faith. And now, 10, 11 weeks later, we're going to close it off with that last section from Hebrews 11. We started the series because of this, though. Our theme verse, it's on our banner. Remember, our banners are in conjunction from last year's word of the year to this year's word of the year. It's about seeking. And last year was the priority of seeking. Seek first the kingdom of God. This year, it's about the passion of seeking, to earnestly seek after him. And so the two are mentioned in conjunction. This is our theme verse from this year's word of the year that says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Said way back in January, with our word of the year in mind, it starts with faith, it ends with rewards, and in between that, there's a whole lot of earnestly seeking him. This is the journey we're on, right? Starts with faith, ends with rewards. There's a whole lot of earnestly seeking him in that in-between space. And that's what we're focusing on with 2025 in mind. And so that rolled out into this first sermon series of our year. Right after the unveiling of the word of the year, we wanted to have a sermon series on faith. If earnestly seeking him starts with faith, then we need to be clear about what is faith and what does faith look like in real life, the good days and the bad days. And so ever since then, we've been in Hebrews 11, that chapter in Scripture that's called the Hall of Fame of Faith. We get real-life examples of real people of faith and how faith got played out in the real days that they lived through. And so a number of weeks back, we reviewed some of those list of names of the heroes of faith, and you guys cleared me out of candy. Remember that? Right? Name popped up and you told me about that name. We tossed out some candy and we're cleared out now. It's all in Easter eggs and you cleared me out a couple weeks back. So I'm not going that route again today. But I just want to say a little faith statement about each of those people in review as we close out our series today. And so one of those, that first person, that first name of faith mentioned in Hebrews 11 was Abel. And Abel, what his example of faith was, is that faith offers God the first and the best. If you remember in Abel's story, so much of what transpired had to do with what was given in the right heart and the wrong heart. Can I share what we give generously towards is what we really care about? Case in point, I'm a cheapskate, okay? I always have been by nature. My family, my grandparents would tell a story when I was really young. My grandpa was building like a barn, and I don't know if there was nails or some just scraps, something he was having the grandkids picked up. And I found a way in that system. As we picked up more, we got more in return. I think he was paying us in pennies or something there, but it was a big deal for a grandkid, right? And so I found a way in the system to not only pick up and turn in, but then to refine those yet again to get a bigger payday. I mean, I think it was justice scales or something for what the wages were. I don't know there, but found a way. And so very young age, cheapskate. I try to find a way when my parents or Julie's parents watch our kids that they pay us for babysitting somehow. Like that's just in my nature. But there was a time in my life where I was shopping for something and I didn't care the price tag. It was an engagement ring because I just wanted the best for the best, right? Just generous because of love motivating that generosity, buying an engagement ring for my spouse. I think Abel reflects that in his gift. Like, he's just first and generous. He loves God, and so the gestures of his life reflect that love. We are generous towards that which we love. And not always is that generosity financially. There's a lot of ways to be generous, but we are generous towards that which we love. Abel loved God, and that was reflected in his gift to God. If we truly love God, we aren't asking ourselves, oh, I got to do this again. It's how can I serve this one who's given so much for me? Abel reflect that in his faith. Enoch, Probably of all the people we covered, we know the least about Enoch. It's like one paragraph in the book of Genesis. Don't know the details of his life story, but what we do know about Enoch, there's one phrase that gets mentioned in that one paragraph repeatedly, and it's that Enoch walked faithfully with God. Apparently, faith walks. And walk is just a slow and steady, right? One step in front of another. It's not getting anywhere fast, but it's getting somewhere, right? To that destination that you're fixed on. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Faith is that slow and steady movement, more and more into the direction of God that Enoch exhibited and taught us in the early book of Genesis. Noah, that's a storm story. That's judgment. That's salvation. That's both mixed and. What I love about Noah's story before you get to the rain, and you think it was bad this last week, it was worse in Noah's day, right? But before you get to that rain story, though, there's a grace story. It says that Noah found favor or grace in the sight of God. And then it starts talking about that effect that that grace had on how Noah received the warnings of God and lived obediently in light of those warnings of God. It says Noah found favor or grace. Like it was there, it was available to all, and yet Noah was the one that received it and did something with it. God's grace is available. And it warns us and it promises salvation, but it's up to us to live into what God has made available to us. Faith receives grace and lives in light of that. And Noah's story, even before the storm, gets into that grace involvement of God in mind. Abraham, one of my favorite senior citizens in Scripture. Dude gets stepping in faith at 75 years old. 75, when you're supposed to be content and stay status quo, Abraham gets stepping in this movement of faith into a land he'd never seen before. He didn't know the land, but he knew the God who was telling him about the land, and he trusted God more than his even physical senses. He stepped in the unknown, and that even got further paired later on in life when he was offering God his greatest treasure, the Isaacs in life. That great tension point, how Abraham held nothing back. God put a lot in those hands, and Abraham did not clutch with those hands. He left those hands opened to serve God with whatever God had placed in him. Beautiful story of faith with that in mind. Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, those are mixed characters that all were looking forward to faith in the future. Isaac's a very quiet character in Scripture. Jacob's a little bit of a shady character in Scripture. Joseph's a character that had to go through some twists and turns. A lot of two steps forward, one step back in Joseph's life story. And yet in all of that, their faith was looking forward to this new day to come that God promised them about. And even Joseph's stories about his burial arrangements highlight his faith moving forward. They weren't so full on earth that they ever lost their appetite for eternity, each of those individuals in that faith story. And then Moses, his story is faith embracing suffering for a greater thing. You can see in your scripture, I put it very tiny on the script, on the screen there, but verse 25, if you're open to Hebrews chapter 11, it's that same verse that says what Abraham did. He in verse 25, chose to be mistreated among the people of God rather than enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ of greater value than the treasures of Egypt because he was looking ahead to his reward. He turned his back on some things in earth because he was so focused on eternity. And that meant some pain for him. And that meant some wandering for him. And yet it was all worthwhile for him. We don't know Moses if he just stayed with the treasures of Egypt. We know about Moses because he was being willing to be stretched because he saw beyond Egypt and into eternity. That's faith looking to the future and faith going through suffering, even for the greater thing. And then Rahab, Dave did for us last week, reminds us that God's offer of faith really is for all. Her background was prostitution. And Dave danced in that in the delicate setting with wiggly worshipers in our midst last week. Not an easy message that he had to preach through, but he let that redemptive message ring through. We all are broken by sin. Scripture says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. None of us are worthy on God's list. And yet, you know what God did through Rahab's life? He used Rahab in his family tree to bring his Holy One through. Jesus comes from the genealogy that includes Rahab. Like God's redemptive offer really is for all. And what's interesting about Rahab, when we're first introduced to her, she's a prostitute. But in the New Testament, when it refers to her, she's a married woman, used in alignment with God's redemptive plan there. Like God changed some things. His offers for all, but as we receive God, he starts to change us in a direction that leads us into godliness, holiness, his plan for our life. And so Rahab's story is a beautiful story of redemption. How God meets us where we are, but he doesn't leave us where we are. He meets us in our mess, but he's leading us to a mansion. And so that involves some steps out of the mess and into the mansion. One of the churches I listen to regularly, we're going to show a clip of a little bit later on. Matt Chandler puts it this way in his church. He says, it's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. Did you hear that? It's okay to not be okay. It's just not okay to stay that way. That's Rahab's story. God met her at not okay, but he didn't leave her at not okay. He was leading her to his better plans and purposes. This is faith's journey. This is why we're studying these real lives and finding our lives in this. Got a text message this last week about this series. It was just complimenting this series because this series was speaking to this individual. And I just shared with this individual, I love preaching the stories of Scripture because through these stories, we hear our story, right? Like, this is God's timeless word. It ain't just about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. You are Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. Your story parallels their story because real life and real faith are really consistent through the ages, even if the names change some, right? This is what it means to be a people of faith. And so we've got one last section to study in God's word that ties it all together. Let's do that, picking up in verse number 32 for us today. Verse number 32 in closing out this chapter. What page number can we find? Hebrews 11, verse 32? 1716. Thank you. 1716 you can find in the Pew Bible. God's word reads this. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets. So there's more names that could be added to this list, right? We've just studied a lot of names to this list. And now the author of Hebrews is saying that there's more that could be added. This is not an exhaustive list. The Gideon, the Barak, the Samson, the Jephthah, those are judges. The book of the Bible named Judges includes some of their story. And some of those people you might say, hey, yeah, that does look like faith. Some of these characters are some like head-scratching characters. Like they're doing what? Why? It's a reminder that just being mentioned in the Hall of Fame doesn't mean you get all of life perfectly. There's a lot of imperfection in those names of Gideon, Samson, Jephthah, and so on. But faith was exhibited in their journey as a part of this. David, he's a household name. Did David get it right all the time? Shepherd boy that led the king, giant slayer, that is also probably the most famous affair of all time too. David and Bathsheba, it's that same David in Scripture. Not a flawless person, but a faithful person. And even in light of the flaws, the way David processes the flaws, confession, repentance is a part of this faith journey as well. Not trying to excuse stuff away, but coming clean with it. Psalm 51 is one of those repentant psalms of David himself with that in mind. Samuel, there's a character that you can say a lot of kind stuff about. A good guy in a tough time in Israel's history. He's a transition figure from the judges' time period to the time period of the monarchy. Not an easy day to live through, and yet Samuel lives through it and does it well. He's included in this list. Like there's more names that could be added. This is not an exhaustive list, but it's a list that gives us an example of what real faith looks like in real life. It says in verse 33, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain even a better resurrection. Just chronicling some exploits of faith that you read about in Scripture, of some of those names and other names that could be included when faith wins a great victory. Some truly miraculous stuff that's happening as a show of faith. But there's another side too, verse 36. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. I'm going to read through this section a little bit later as a repeat, but I just want to single out as we read this paragraph that there's a pivot that takes place in faith. Like from verse 33 through verse 35, it's all the good stuff that's happening as a ripple effect of faith. The miraculous stuff, right? Like the things that are like closing the mouths of lions there and administering justice, conquering kingdoms, right? Slaying giants, all these good things that are these great exploits of faith that's leaving like, yes. Want to be a person of faith, so always living in the win column, right? But then verse 36 happens, and it reminds us that there's a different side of faith, too, on this side of eternity that sometimes hurts. Like, the other verses, you're shutting the mouths of lions, and then these verses, you're getting torn apart by lions. Did you know that was a reality for people of faith in the ancient world? Like, they would be the sport of the Roman Colosseum games. They would unleash lions at them. And why? Because they're Christians. They're people of faith. Christians are persecuted at times. Like verse 36 and beyond leaves us uncomfortable. We want faith when it's verse 33 through 35, right? And faith always winning the victory. But sometimes faith hurts. Sometimes faith will cost you. Sometimes faith will make you the black sheep of your family. Sometimes faith will cause you to be passed up for some promotion. Sometimes faith will just feel like you're on an island, lonely and isolated. You're not. That's why you need to be connected to a community of faith, but it kind of feel that way sometimes. You catching that? We live verse 36 and beyond, too, as people of faith. I never gave this paragraph much thought until a number of years back was tuning in. I've shared with you before, a preacher needs to be preached to, too. And it can't be from their own lessons and sermons. And so weekly, usually when I'm in the rec center or on the treadmill, I try to tune into at least one sermon each week. And oftentimes, the church that I listen to, Matt Chandler is a mega church pastor down in the Texas region, had a colleague of mine that pointed me to him a number of years back, and he just feeds my soul. I just appreciate that. And he's not in our region, not in our group in that way. And so it just feels like a connecting point. That's who I connect to. Matt Chandler, number of years back, it's been near two decades now, he was diagnosed with brain cancer. It was Thanksgiving morning. He had a newborn. He was burping the newborn, went to put the newborn on the Johnny jump up thing. And at some point after doing that, fell on the floor, grand mal seizure, rushed to the hospital Thanksgiving Day, and gets found out the diagnosis. We've got a tumor, brain tumor, that average lifespan, what it was, 2 to 3 years. This was near 20 years ago. But he's processing through all of that decades before, and he gives this sermon to his church, not this sermon, this video clip, to try to explain some things where he points to this passage in a way that's just kind of sunk in my skull, and so I just show this video to let it maybe sink in your skull as well. He says this with this passage in mind, 4-minute clip, I think it's worth hearing it from his words, that gets at this two side of faith, the victory and sometimes the defeat side. So here's the clip from Matt Chandler.
Hi, I'm Matt Chandler. I'm the lead pastor, teaching pastor here at the Village Church. If you haven't heard, it's been quite the weekend really quite the week for us. On Thanksgiving morning, I had a seizure and woke up in the hospital. They did some scans and they found a tumor on my right frontal lobe. It's about 2 inches by 1 inch, so 2 inches in diameter, about 1 inch deep. And on Friday, really by the time you watch this, they're going to go in and cut it out. And so I wanted to say just a couple of things to you very quickly. Knowing that this is the first weekend in FMX, we're live streaming, like all these good things are happening, and I'm having to miss out on that. Just trust the Lord with that. But in the end, a couple of things. One, I just can't thank you enough. And really the places where our hearts have been real tender is just the outpouring of love and encouragement and support and prayers from really not just the village but all over the world. And that's been such a humbling, humbling thing to me and my family. And so I wanted to thank you for that. And then the second thing, I just wanted to say this so you could hear me say this. I've been, in my travels this fall, I've been preaching kind of the same message out of Hebrews 11. And in Hebrews 11, he says that some shut the mouths of lions and some, they put foreign armies to flight. And some, you know, it kind of goes through this, all these good things that happen to these men of God. And then right in the middle of, I believe it's verse 30. I'm sorry, but it's somewhere right in there. All of a sudden just turns. I think it's 32. It just turns. And all of a sudden it says, and some were tortured. And some were sawn in two, and some were destitute, and some were, and then he said, but both walked in faith. And so this, I'm 35 years old. I'm at this point in my life, all he's ever given me was, I mean, we've shut the mouths of lions, and we've put foreign armies to flight, and we fought against injustice, and there've been nothing but good that has come. And so I've always felt when I taught that message, there was this hitch in me that was going, when I say, but some don't get that, I thought that there would be people in the crowd that would say, well, of course you're going to say that. Of course you're going to point that out because God's done nothing but be good to you. He's done nothing but be gracious. He's done nothing but let you have victory after victory after victory. And so when this all came out, and then when we found out from the surgeon that we were expecting to get multiple options, here are your options, and we didn't. There's one option. We need to get in there now. There's this part of me that's so grateful that the Lord counted me worthy for this. And there's this part of me that goes, okay, because now in an area where it's not a big win, I get to show that he's enough. Then I get to praise him and exalt him and make much of him in this, because I've got to make much of him in this. Now he's counted me worthy to point to him in this. And so know that, man, we've cried our tears at my house, and man, I've held my children, and I've kissed them, and I've kissed my wife. And what I would love is to be a 70-year-old man drinking coffee. I would love to walk my daughter down the aisle. I would love to see my boy turn into the athlete I never was. I mean, I would love to do all of that. But none of those things is better than him. None of those things. And I'm saying that now. I'm saying that right now, not as the guy who has everything and has nothing in front of him that he could lose, but I'm telling you that now as a guy who could lose everything in an instant. And so, man, I love you. I love this place. It's been the great joy of my life to yell at you for 7 years. My plan is to come back more aggressive. That's my plan. And so we'll see what the Lord has for me. I am not afraid. And so for those of you who kind of just keep living in fear, and you would try to use this as an excuse to continue in that fear, don't you dare use me as an excuse to continue in your lies. My hope would be that you would see that he is good in all things and that he would never send to any of us things he does not provide strength for. I love you more than you know. I can't wait to be back. I love you.
Just think Hebrews makes us deal with both sides of faith. Sometimes faith is shutting the mouths of lions. Sometimes people of faith got torn apart by lions. Sometimes faith leads to the ring. Sometimes it leads to suffering. And both are examples of faith. Both aren't under the outside the eyesight of God, who knows hearts, sees hearts, and not all these the effects that this side of eternity reaps. And so I think that's the next verse in verse 39. They were all commended for their faith. Who's all? Those that won the great victory. Those that tasted defeat. Those that were closing the mouths of lions. Those that were getting torn apart by lions. They were all commended for their faith, yet not one of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Did you hear that? God had planned something better. Even then closing the mouths of lions, even then raising the dead back to life, even more than conquering kingdoms and administering justice and all those victories, God had planned something better. Church, I will remind you and always remind you, you got to play the long game when you follow Jesus, right? This life does not yield the results of what God is administering in the better. We live for a kingdom come. Our kingdom is not of this world. So Christian, play the long game. Live for eternity. Make the most of these moments, right? This is the life that God has given, but don't forget in these moments that life is given, that there is an eternity in sight, and we're to live obediently in honor of Him and His kingdom come, because it's better. It's better. Not comparable, not apples to apples here. Better, exceeds, superior. It's better than even the best here. Let's keep reading, because this closes, I think, this thought. Verse 12, or chapter 12, leads in to the further content of Hebrews. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If this is where we're headed, how are we supposed to live in the here and now? Chapter 12 spells it out. Let us run, but run with perseverance. Don't get tired. Don't lose heart. Know where you're headed, and you do that by following the right rabbit in life. Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. How do we close out this section? What are some lasting points there to tie a ribbon around this sermon series as we head into Holy Week and Palm Sunday next week? Let me just suggest three things that I think tie this faith journey together that we would do good to not only think about but live about in the times to come. And so one of those points based on Hebrews 11 in mind, faith yields mixed results on earth. Live for eternity. Faith yields mixed results on earth. Some can shut the mouths of lions through these great acts of faith. Some will be torn apart by lions because of their faith. Some will experience the ring. Some will experience the suffering on this side of eternity. Earth yields mixed results. That's why we live for eternity. And so that's that section that pivots at verse 36. I'm not trying to play with your eye test right there. I'm just trying to spell out what Scripture spells out and where we're getting this point from. It's verse 33 through verse 38 that includes that pivot point. Verse 33 through 35, the good stuff that faith results. And some of those stories found in Moses' story and Joseph's story and Noah's story. Some of those stories are hard too. Moses had 40 years in the wilderness. Joseph was sold as a slave by his brothers. You think every day of faith was just a hop, skip, and a jump in the park? For these people of faith, I hope we have understood this as we've covered their story together. Sometimes faith yields the ring. Sometimes faith yields the suffering. It mixed results. Point number two, though, faith does have a focus. No matter the results, faith does have a focus. And what's that focus? Who's that focus? Jesus is that focus. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on who? Not your friend. Not some social media trendsetter. Not your pastor. Right? Who do we fix our eyes on? Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. What does it mean to fix our eyes on something? That phrase, fix your eyes on Jesus, what does it mean when we fix our eyes on something? What has our eyes has our attention, correct? What we focus on, What we fix our eyes on, what we spend time with, has our attention. Fixing our eyes on Jesus means that Jesus has our attention. He has our focus. He's the direction that we want to go in. Fix your eyes on Jesus. How do we do that then? Let's spell this out. It's not rocket science. You've heard it before in the church, right? Pray, read your Bible, worship. These are all ways that we fix our eyes on Jesus, that help focus us, that help attune us to Jesus. Can I spell that out even a little further, though? If you've spent any time, considerable time with my wife this past year, you will notice at random times of the day, her phone alarm will go off. And it's at like random times because my wife is trying to practice the ancient Christian practice of different hours of the day in praying. And so she sets her alarm. It's always set there. And you'll be with Julie there. And all of a sudden, this beeping will be. And you'll be like, was that your alarm clock for the morning or something? It's 10 o'clock. What's going on in this? It's because she's setting her time just to remind herself that God is in this moment and to pray. Those of you that have been with us for a length of time, about 7-8 years ago, we did a study called Soul Revolution. It was a book study there that was just about setting your watch or Fitbit or some other device to beep every hour on the hour. And so I purposely buy watches that have that alarm mechanism. Mine beeps on the hour every hour. I'll be in the glow class and the glow lesson will be going on and then it'll beep because it's like 5 o'clock and all the glow students are like looking back, what's that sound? But it just reminds me in that moment, and it was an idea from that book, to just remind me that God is in this and to focus, fix your eyes on Jesus. What's he up to in this moment? Sometimes we need regular reminders to reorient our eyes, right? Sometimes our eyes wander, our attention wanders, and little things that we can reset us, right? And remind us, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Maybe that's a good practice that will help you pray more regularly through the day and be attuned to what God's doing through your day. How do you fix your eyes on Jesus if you don't know Jesus? Maybe some of us are just starting to hear this word outside of a swear word for the first time in our life. Jesus is a real person? What do you mean? Pick up this book. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four gospels that tell us the story of the real Jesus. Eyewitnesses account. People who lived with Jesus, did life with him, wrote about his story, tell what he taught, tell how he reacted to certain situations in life. If you've never read either Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or all of them, maybe this year is the year to do it. Maybe this Holy Week is the week to do it. Pastor Brad and I'm going to put words in his mouth. We would love to take you out for coffee or a donut or lunch or have you in the office and just to talk about, once you complete reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the first time, to just see your thoughts about who the real Jesus is. So read the book, have a notebook, jot down some teachings or some things that you think Jesus says that are odd or that are difficult for you or anything there that jumps off the page to you. And meet with Pastor Brandon. We'd love to talk, hear more about this Jesus that's jumping off the page to you. Maybe that's an idea, that we fix our eyes on Jesus. I don't know if you've been to the movies lately, but there's like tons of Jesus content that's being put out in mass media right now. Let me be clear as a pastor. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. This book, this is the real Jesus. Everything else is an artistic interpretation of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. You hearing this? So let's be clear about this. But with that said, I realize the media, a movie, can help us understand the spirit and life beat of Jesus. And so what we've been going through in small groups has been a Chosen, small group studies. Chosen just released season 5. If you would like to be caught up on previous seasons, we've got those DVDs here in the church that we would loan out as long as you return it at some point, because we do use it as part of small group studies there. But that can be a way of introducing you if you're new to Jesus. A well-known Christian singer, Chris Tomlin, is part of what's behind this movie in theater, The Last Supper, that talks about some of what went on the last week of Jesus' life. That's a new movie out in theaters right now that might introduce you to some things about Jesus that you hadn't considered before. Maybe a way that you fix your eyes on Jesus. Those of you with young families, there's a new movie being released this Friday That we are already planning in our family, I know, to make a family outing at some point of watching The King of Kings. It's a cartoon animated, but telling the stories of Jesus from the perspective of Charles Dickens, you know, the dude that wrote A Christmas Carol, telling it to his kid in animated form, recalling back what Jesus did centuries earlier. That's a father-son lesson teaching through the lenses of Jesus in King of Kings. That might be good for those of you with young families. What I'm just trying to say is the text tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. If we want to be people of faith, we know what faith looks like by focusing on Jesus and following Jesus. And so we got to know who Jesus is. Maybe these are some ways to uncover and remind ourselves of who the real Jesus is and what he's up to in our life. That might be ways that we fix. Even before I get to that point, it says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. I like that phrase. Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. I went to a university called Malone University. You know their mascot, Rick Jernay? He's not in here for this one, huh? Jesse Gerhart?
The Pioneers.
The Pioneers. Pioneers are frontiersmen. They cut the trail before the trail's fully cut. Jesus is the pioneer and perfecter of the faith. You don't have to make your own trail. Jesus already cut a path for you. Didn't we sing a song a moment ago with the worship team? I am the way and the truth and the life. Jesus cut the way. It's part of what's meant when it says Jesus is the pioneer. You don't have to clear the brush. Jesus has done it for you. You just have to follow Jesus. And perfecter, other translations will say completer, finisher. Some will say not pioneer and perfecter, but author and finisher. Jesus begins this journey and Jesus ends this journey, and he's the strength that we can take this journey with. Wasn't that verse that was mentioned at the baptism, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? He doesn't leave us alone on this path. He walks with us and his Holy Spirit empowering us. You catching this, church? Faith is hard. You don't do it alone. He starts it. He completes it. You just stay focused to him. You hearing that? He starts it. He finishes it. Our task is to run focused to him. He's the rabbit. We follow him in this race journey. And so that ties into point number three now. Faith perseveres. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Last time I was here, a couple weeks back there, we gave a shout out to baseball. It's time to talk about the real spring sport, though, now, okay? Track. Let us run with perseverance the race marked down for. I stirring the pot there, okay? Like all of them there. But track. Did you know running hurts sometimes? I was not much of a runner. I did the throwing thing, but got some kids that are into the running thing there. Did you know running hurts? Like, there are times those legs feel heavy. And you wonder if another step can be taken. That lactic acid starts building up there, and it's painful. And you got to train for it. You don't just do it, you live into it there. Discipline needed. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Don't quit. It's going to hurt some days. You're going to feel the pain. You're going to wonder where the next step comes from. Focus on Jesus and don't quit. Perseverance, persistence, one step in front of the other, reminding yourself that you're getting closer to the finish line each step you take following Jesus. That's the motivation for a runner, right? Finish. Get to that line. Christian, there's a line. Eternity is coming. Fix your eyes on Jesus and don't quit. One step in front of the other, with God's strength available, his grace empowering, run that race that Jesus has marked out for us. Make sense, church? This is what people of faith do. Moses did it, right? Was it easy? With complaining and grumbling in the wilderness for 40 years for people that forgot the wonders that God had done and where he's leading them to. Was that easy? Abraham, 75 years old, promised some things by God. 25 years later, promises still not happening. Is that easy days to live through? Abel, sibling rivalry. Because Abel did the wrong thing? No. He gave his first and best. Brother was having issues with it, though. Ends up costing him his life. Does faith hurt sometimes? Church, sometimes this faith journey is shutting the mouths of lions, conquering kingdoms, winning the victories. Sometimes faith is getting torn by lions. Sometimes faith isn't the ring, it's the suffering. What do you do in those days? Let us run with perseverance. One day after another, focusing on Jesus and following the one who what? Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. You know, he went to the cross. Not every day was the resurrection. And he says, come follow me. It's worth it in the end. Begins with faith, ends with rewards, but there's a whole lot of earnestly seeking, persevering, putting one step in front of the other in this journey of what it means to follow Jesus. He's worth following, but run perseveringly. Amen? Lord, help us. Those are words. They can stimulate thoughts, but they can't put the steps. Only your Spirit speaking to hearts and souls can do what we most need done. So I pray for those, Lord, who feel like today is being torn apart by lions, who feel like today is the floggings and beatings. Lord, help them to take the next step. Pray for that other side too, Lord. You do enable us to do some things through faith that we can't do in our own strength and power, but have been accessed because of an active agent, Jesus himself at work in our life. We thank you for those days of victory, but Lord, in all those days, we want to remember where the glory is due and what it is that you've done on our behalf. So all praise and all glory be to Jesus, our King. Help us to fix our eyes on him and follow him by faith. We pray that in Jesus' name. And as people said, amen. Stand as you're able. We do have a closing song that I'm going to ask Kathy to help us with here because it's a new song to me. Faith of Our Fathers. It's found on page 710 in the hymnal. If you can read music, it might be helpful. I don't remember ever singing it in our 12-plus years together, but some of you might be more familiar with this than others. We're going to sing verse 1 and verse 3, and do not follow my lead for this one, okay? Because it might be going wrong, but it's a song with a message. Check. It's a song that reminds us that we stand on the shoulders of those who've gone before us. People of faith! Like the Abels, the Enochs, the Abrahams, the Moseses that we've been studying. We need their journey because it's going to help our journey. The faith of our fathers with that. And so let's sing it together, 710, Faith of Our Fathers, verse 1 and verse 3.